Hi, everyone, and
Love
welcome to
Hope
the journey.
Radio.
Hi, Malcolm.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Malcolm Anderson, and I'm your host for today's show, which is part of the Activity Compass series. This is a radio show that presents people's journeys to success through healthy, active living. I'll be interviewing some amazing people and active living experts and sharing stories and advice to help you and your families live more active, healthier lives. The message with every show is one of inspiration. Inspire and be inspired as we talk to people from around the world who convince you that anything is possible if you want to change how you live or if you want to make a difference in other people's lives. Or maybe you'll do both. For my part, I've written 4 books on running, interviewed hundreds of people around the world about healthy living and health in general, and spent many years at Queen's University in Canada conducting research and evaluation on health services. I've also developed the Activity Compass, which is a program that anyone can follow if they want to lead more active, healthier lives. And I'm the founder of Run for Tomorrow, which is a relay run around the world, which will be leaving next year, 2014, to raise awareness about the importance of physical activity and healthy living. My guest today is Cara Lubin from Norco, California. Very happy to have Cara on the show. Cara is the founder and chairperson of the 100 Mile Club. She started as a special education teacher who had a classroom full of students who couldn't sit still. One day, Cara asked her kids to run every morning for 10 minutes and noticed a difference in their behavior within just a week. They were more focused and more engaged. So then fast forward 20 years later, and she's been evolving that initial thought, that first spark, continuously over the years. Earlier this year, Cara and the club were featured in Runner's World magazine and recognized by Child Obesity 180 as having one of the most scalable and innovative fitness programs in the United States. So thanks for coming on the show, Cara.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Yeah, great to talk to you. And I'm wondering if we could just start off, if you could tell us, what is the 100 Mile Club?
Sure. The 100 Mile Club is a fitness and life skills organization and program for kids with the exclusive goal of encouraging our kids and our families to each run or walk 100 miles in a school year. The majority of the miles we ask the children to do at school during their school day, just as we encourage our families to infuse physical activity throughout the day, we're encouraging our kids to do the same at school. So the idea is run 100 miles. It's that simple. And what we have is a set of incentives that are consistent across the country, which allow our kids and our families to connect with one another between schools, between classrooms, between cities, and ultimately between states and all across the country with a common goal. So it truly is a journey that we all take together, and we just need to get ourselves up and moving, and this is the easiest and most effective way to do that.
Well, that's fantastic. Maybe you could take us back 20 years or so and tell us about those moments when you first did something with that class. Can you describe
sure.
that for us?
Sure. So I was a second year teacher when I started the 100 Mile Club. I was 23 years old, so I was very young to have already been teaching 1 year. And I had started a class. I was hired to start a class for students with specific learning disabilities, some behavior disorders, kids with ADHD, and kids that just basically had experienced a tremendous amount of failure in school. I always ask my adults and people that are listening to me to imagine going to a place every day, whether it be work or somewhere else, where it's literally almost impossible for you to be successful at anything you attempt. Trying to log in your computer, completely fail. Try to write your name, total fail. Everything that these kids did was difficult and ultimately resulted in feelings of failure. So I had this sort of salad of challenges to deal with these kids. Not only had they never experienced success in a school setting before, but they had also sort of become disconnected from school as a result of not experiencing success and not having a good time at school. I mean, I think a lot of us look back at school as a very positive, wonderful place to be, and the kids that I had that were brought to my new classroom were done. And when I say done, they were ready to be done with school, and they were 9. And nothing was good for them there. And so they had this a tremendous amount of energy. What I loved about these kids was they were spirited beyond belief. These were kids who had a lot to say, but just didn't know how to say it. They had a lot of ideas, but they just didn't feel valid. And so what I needed to do is I needed to stop them and settle them down a little bit and get to a point where I could teach them something, because I was breaking down walls of can'ts every day. I mean, these kids were just can't. I can't do it. And I had to give them a can. I had to give them something that they could do. And what they were very good at doing was moving. And for me, we had just come off of the 1992 Summer Olympics, and it was a very inspiring year. I don't know if anybody remembers it, but it was the first year of the Dream Team basketball team. Lots of really great track stories. It was just a phenomenal Olympic year in Barcelona. So we came back with this idea of, you know, wanting to be in the Olympics, and the kids were, you know, couldn't help but get caught up in the Olympic spirit as well. But I was sad to realize that none of them actually believed they could do anything like that, could never achieve anything like the Olympians did. So for me, it was this desire to get my kids moving because they were really good at it, this idea that I wanted them to earn something like a gold medal or something, and the idea that I was a horseback rider. I mean, that's what I do. I'm not the best runner in the world, but I'm pretty good horseback rider. So what I used to do with my horses that were especially high energy, I would let them out to run a little bit before I would try to work with them. And it definitely calmed them down and helped us develop a better relationship with one another. So we would go out in the round pen and the horses and I would run around. And I decided that kids and horses were very similar. So I literally took my kids out to the field and I said, go, you guys are going to run. And I gave them a reason to run. And I said, you're going to run 100 miles this year, and I'm going to help you do it. And at the end, if you do this for me, if you do this for you, you're going to earn a gold medal, and I'm going to have those for you. I had no idea how I was going to get gold medals or T-shirts or anything at that point. I just was making it up, and I think that's what good teachers do. They make up stuff, and then they worry about how they're going to get it done later. And that's kind of what I was doing. So they were pretty into it, so they started running, and when they saw the miles, you know, tallying up on the wall, it just became an instant motivator, and I immediately saw differences in these kids. It was incredibly empowering for them to be able to go and release some energy and, you know, sort of pursue a goal and earn things, earn, you know, prizes, but really it's all sort of a manifestation of the pride that they get in themselves, and anybody can do it. So that was 20 years ago, and I think for the first 10 years, nobody even asked me what I was doing with my kids because I was the special education specialist. So they just thought I was that crazy teacher that, you know, had all the kids that nobody else really wanted to teach or, you know, could teach because they didn't have the training or the patience. You know, people always say, oh, you teach special education, you're a saint. You know, it takes a special kind of person to do that. But really, good teachers are good teachers. And so about 10 years later, my husband became a teacher and said, can we do 100 Mile Club in my classroom? And he taught general ed, just typical developing kids. And I said, sure, why not? So he started, and then one thing led to another. And 20 years later, we're serving over 1,000 schools and over 100,000 students. So it's growing exponentially at this point.
It's just amazing when I hear you talk, Tara, that you've gone from that one classroom to those staggering numbers. Make sure I got that right. We'll come back to this. 1,000 schools and 100,000 students in a 20-year period.
Yes.
And, of course, a lot has happened.
Right. Well, this year is the 100,000 kids. We'll be serving at least 100,000 kids this year. But every year, after we started to grow, it just grew exponentially. The first year that it grew, we had 250 kids. So first it was like my 12 kids, right? And then the second year it was 250 kids, and then the third year it was 8,000 kids. So that was the years after it began to grow, and then the following year it was 16,000, and it's just, you know, doubled at least. In this year we're actually quintupling in size, which is very exciting. So it's fun.
It must be fun. And I love what you said at the beginning. It's I had to give them a can and something so very simple as get them moving, as you pointed out. That's what they do. So you put the two together. It seems like a perfect formula.
Right, and everybody likes to move.
Everyone likes to move, exactly. And I can I can think back to my own days when I was at school. The last thing I wanted to do really was sit down. So moving is a good thing.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So if I'm a kid in a school, I guess at any point over the 20 years, what is it that you would say to me to entice me into this program?
If you were a kid right now who I was talking to about 100 Mile Club, what would I say to you?
Yeah.
You know what? The first thing I tell a lot of my kids is that this is not a running club. This is absolutely not a running club. So, you know, sometimes when I go into a school, especially with older kids, I tell them, you know, we're going to do this thing together. We're going to run or walk 100 miles this year together. And they look at me like, oh, my gosh, this woman's going to make me run, you know, and it's scary. And I immediately stop them and say, you know, this is not, if they're older kids, I'll say this is not a running club. This is a journey we're going to take together. It's a journey for you. This is for my older kids, for you to learn about yourself, to learn about how powerful you are and how strong you are and how capable you are. And we're going to be here for you every step of the way. But for the little kids, all you have to do is just kind of lay the challenge in front of them. And the tiny ones, you know, they don't know they can't do it. You know, so they're a little easier to work with. It's almost like you have to curtail the enthusiasm and talk to them about numbers and tracking and helping them understand literally sometimes the concept of 100. Because I work with pre-K and kindergarten kids, and one of their state standards, one of the standards that we work with in kinder is counting to 100. So this is perfect for them educationally, but they don't have a concept at all of what 100 miles is or how far it is. They just know they're going to run and they get stickers. So it's a different conversation as we get older, as our kids get older. So you have to kind of look at your audience and look at your kid and say, you know, we're going to do this thing together and we're not going to leave you. And we're going to make sure that you show up, and we're going to talk to you about what it means to show up and to do your best every day. So we have lots of different conversations depending on the age of the child. And I think that's where my expertise is the most useful, is understanding children and development and what really makes them tick. So getting kids moving is a different game at every developmental level.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that process shortly, but can you just tell us some of the things that you see in the children and the kids as they go through the program? What kind of changes do you see in them?
Oh,
if
gosh.
We have time.
I mean, absolutely. Even after the first day, our kids start to, you know, immediately when you run, even if you and I ran a lap around the field at some school, we'd come back and we'd feel better. I mean, that's just initial. So a lot of times when we run with kids, even after the first session, even after the first time, you know, taking a lap together, you start to see smiles in some kids that just haven't smiled in a long time at school. They walk a little taller. They stand a little more proud. They start thinking about goals, and they start thinking about the year in front of them. And of course, now we're so excited that the research does support the fact that active kids simply do better in school. Kids that are active throughout the day, their brains are more active. Literally, they have tested brains at this point. And the parts of the brain that help, you know, bring in new information and process new information are more active after a child moves their body for even 5 minutes. So, you know, we can talk about the biological stuff, but for me, a lot of it is emotional. You know, you start to see kids connecting with one another in ways that most of the times they don't do, helping one another out on that field because it's a shared goal. And for some of these kids, it's very easy to run 100 miles. I mean, I have kids at this point now who have been running with me for years who are doing 100 miles a month, and that is wild for me to see, but that's his goal. That's this particular child's goal. And he works hard to help others get there as well. So you see that sort of mentoring that's going on. So the building relationships and becoming a team at school, you know, all of those things come together to create this vision of a wonderful whole child experience at school where they're learning academically but also developing social skills as well. It's good
stuff.
Yeah,
that must be Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thinking now as a parent, what mm-hmm. what do you hear from parents about this too?
They never want it to end. They love it. A lot of times, even more so now that we're getting bigger, the ever-present question is, can I do it too? And for some reason, the 100 Mile Club speaks to parents in a way that other physical activity programs don't. You know, they feel empowered and inspired by their kids. I mean, you know, we talk about this lack of physical activity and we talk about kids being real sedentary. And once they start moving, they're inspiring our adults. You know, it's not the reverse. It's really interesting to watch, you know, these kids out there. We'll go to community events or we'll go just to the school site and there will be parents out there and they're like, I haven't exercised since my baby was born. You know, and wow. I'm doing this thing and I've lost 30 pounds and I didn't even really try, but I'm doing this thing. And, you know, we don't really talk a lot about weight loss and that sort of thing in 100 Mile Club. It's not what it's about, really. You know, that sort of thing is almost a byproduct of the journey. So we love to see the kids inspiring the adults inspiring the kids. So the parents never want it to end. They love it. They tell me that their kids, sometimes the only thing that they tell them about during the school day is how many miles they did. Because it's non-threatening and it's success, period. You know, there's no failure in 100 Mile Club. You put one foot in front of the other and you've been successful. You know, so they're able to go, I went three laps today, or I went three. My own daughter doesn't talk to me too much about her classwork, but she'll tell me how many miles she did. So it's even my child. So it's really, it's fun. It's fun to see the kids and the spark in their eye talking about this journey that they're taking. And, you know, it's the first time that the kids have ever had, a lot of times it's the first time that it's that a child has had 100% control over something in their life. Because nobody can do their miles for them. It's very cool.
It's very cool, and I can think just as you mentioned, seeing the smiles on the face, that says it in itself. And just amongst themselves, they'll see it amongst themselves, their friends, their peers, if you like. But the parents are going to latch on that very quickly.
Sure. Because, I mean, when your child is happy and connected and healthy, you don't want that to end. You don't want that to end.
And then on top of that, you have the prizes, the bling. And we know that adults are sucked into the bling vortex too, aren't they? Getting medals after a run. For the kids, it just must blow them away.
Oh, sure. And the kids are funny because they don't understand it. And the awards and sort of the milestone incentives that we provide for kids throughout the journey, it's not supposed to be big and fancy. It's supposed to be a small representation of their journey. And, you know, the big thing happens at mile 25, and that's when they earn their 100 Mile Club t-shirt. If you see a child in a 100 Mile Club t-shirt, you know they've run at least 25 miles because you don't just buy those, you earn them. So if you've got a shirt on, you're 25 miles into your journey that year. And then on the back, we check their progress. So you can actually look at a child's back and see where they are and how far they've gone, which sparks amazing conversations within the community. I mean, you know, as a school teacher, I would have kids come. Maybe they were in a little bit of trouble. Maybe they had a hard time on the playground with a peer. And I could bring them in together. And the first thing we talk about is, how many miles do you guys have? Because all of a sudden, they're talking about something similar. And all of a sudden, the problem is gone because, oh yeah, we're in this together. So the t-shirts are really powerful. And then they get a pencil at 50 miles, a wristband at 75 miles. And then at mile 100, they get their medal. They know they're going to get a gold medal. And we work really hard to make them very gold and very shiny, just like the Olympics. Excuse me. And they don't get those until the end of the year. So if a child makes his 100 or her 100, you know, in October or November, which many do, they know that they still have half a school year left. And the question I ask them is, what are you going to do with the rest of the time you have? And I've never had a child stop. Because at the end of the year, they get their certificate that has their miles on it, and they want that number to be as big as possible. And it's not about beating someone else. It's just about, you know, do your best with what you have and the time you've got. And it's a very humbling experience for the kids because they see one another struggling and they help one another, you know. And at the end, you'll see these hotshot runners, you know, dragging these kids along to finish their 100. They're like, let's go, let's finish, let's do this. It's just so much fun to watch that sort of spirit at the end.
Yeah, the spirit, I mean, it's, and something else I remember, I was talking one other time too, that you just didn't simply pluck those reward miles out of the air. This is something that you've honed in over 20 years of experience.
Sure.
As to when you might give the shirt or pencil.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Sure. So early on, you know, I had this amazing group of kids. And the thing that I love about students that, you know, are identified by our public school system as students with special needs tend to be our most insightful and our most creative kids. It's really interesting because they are so, they're raw. I mean, they're unfiltered. So if you don't, you know, look good that day, if you have bad hair, they'll tell you, you know, if your math lesson was bad, they'll tell you. And that's probably why they get into trouble in the classroom sometimes. But, you know, for me as a specialist, I appreciated that. So developing 100 Mile Club with a class of unfiltered children was great, because if I gave them and I was able to keep these kids for 3 and 4 years at a time. So I got to know them very well, and I would give out their shirts at, you know, one year I'd give it out at 15, and one I'd give it out at 25, and then the other year I'd give it out at 10. And I remember one year the kids there was a group of them. They said, can we talk to you? And I said, yeah. This is a long time ago. They said, you should never give us our shirts again at 15 miles. And I said, what? They said, it just doesn't feel as special this year. And I was like, what a really insightful thing to not only think, but to be able to articulate to the person that's running, you know, running 100 Mile Club. And like I said, it was just me and those kids at that point. They're like, it's not as special at 15 miles, Miss Lubin. It needs to be 25, Miss Lubin. And I thought, okay. And so then 50. So every 25 miles is doable. I mean, even if you're the fastest kid in the whole world and you're running, you know, 2-3 miles a day every day, you still have to wait. So it's about waiting. It's about the intrinsic motivation. I mean, you know, who cares? It's a pencil at mile 50. Who cares? But we talk about that when we do an assembly as well. We talk about, you know, this is just a pencil. You guys could go buy a pencil at the store. And they're like, no, no. And I'm like, what? They go, that's the 50-mile pencil. That's the 50-mile pencil. And I'm like, why? And they're like, it's gold. And it means we are halfway there. So it's all about representing the journey, which is the most important thing, is the pride. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, representing the junior. I really like that phrase, because that's what it is. It doesn't matter about expense. It's just what it represents.
I mean, I could give them a rock spray painted gold, and they'd be thrilled. It's not even. It's about what it represents. It's about what those tokens represent. And you know, the shirt is the most important thing, because you're representing their journey all down their back. And if you go onto our website, you can see different shirts and how kids have marked their shirts. It's almost like an expression of their individuality on the back, telling the world how they've done it and how far they've gone and how, you know, how many miles they plan on going. So it's really, it's pretty amazing. I mean, they throw their hearts, you know, out on that field, and we love it.
Yeah. And so this 20 years, but the last year or so has been incredibly exciting for you. I don't know how you managed to sleep at night. I wonder if you could just tell us what's happened over the past year.
All right. Well, it's very surreal for us, but we love it, and it's all positive. So you can be overwhelmed with positive. So there's no complaining at all. We were identified by a group out of Tufts University called Obesity 180, and then their sort of physical activity arm called the Active Schools Acceleration Project. And they did, the easiest way I can explain it is like American Idol for physical activity programs. And we didn't know, you know, ignorance is bliss, I think, because we didn't know what it was all about. We just thought, oh, they want to know what we're doing. Let's tell them. So we did. We kind of wrote down what we were doing, and we had a teacher, you know, fill out the application, and we all worked together as a team to sort of talk to this group the Active Schools Acceleration Project and the Let's Move people sort of about what we were doing. We're like, hey, we do this 100 Mile Club. It's really, really fun. And you should know about it because we think it's great and it's working. So one thing led to another, and we ended up being their sort of grand, we like won American Idol, you know? I mean, we won the whole thing. It was amazing. And wow. We didn't, still just very, very naive, which is, you know, sometimes how I prefer to function because it keeps me out of reality. So we won the whole thing. We went to D.C. and got this big award, and it was very special and wonderful. And then this year, the Let's Move Active Schools campaign from Let's Move plus Obesity 180 and the Active Schools Acceleration Project put together a grant program to help start a physical activity program in 1,000 new schools. So the idea was we were going to get schools up and running across the country in all the states so that we were sort of like, it was like Johnny Appleseed, you know, throwing seeds in all the states and trying to grow this idea of physical activity so they could choose, the grantees that were applying could choose from one of three programs to implement in their schools to get their schools moving and active. Of the 1,000 schools that were funded, 675 of them chose the 100 Mile Club.
Wow.
So we are, yeah, so we're overwhelmed in the best way ever, and we love our new schools. Their enthusiasm is just, it's just dizzying and fantastic, and our goal every single day is to help our schools put together a program that's going to last at their site, that's going to build a culture of movement on the campus and in their community, and hopefully connect their clubs with the club down the road. And as we grow, the goal is that we want a club in every single school because we want these kids moving. And when they move schools, I don't want them to move to a school that's not a 100-mile club school. The kids that are 100-mile kids, they have a different look about them. And we want everyone to have that look, that sort of confident, physical, strong look. It's good stuff.
Well, it's been huge, hasn't it? Because not just 675 schools, but where you've got this from. If people don't know, Let's Move is a huge initiative launched by Michelle Obama, right?
Yes.
This is a massive recognition of a program that's working. It's incredible.
Yeah. And it's a very quiet. We're doing it quietly. I mean, it's not supposed to be this grand, you know, thing. It's supposed to be some kids and a really cool teacher who decide they're going to start a school moving, and we start doing it, and we do it very subtly and very, you know, it's like hiding vegetables in the meatloaf. I mean, the kids don't know they're getting in shape because we're just having fun. You know, it's a very playful experience. It's this idea that we're going to get out there and support one another. We're all going to run 100 miles together, and why aren't you here today? Come on, let's go. And it's just super inclusive and incredibly supportive of all kids at all ability levels. And like I said, we talk very, very little about weight loss and obesity. Like, we just don't talk about it. It's just about getting moving. And once you start moving, you naturally make better food choices. You naturally, you know, lose that extra sort of weight that's on your body because of lack of movement. You do get stronger. You do get more comfortable with your body. You just begin to make better choices by default because you're on this journey and you have no choice.
Yeah,
that's the way we're doing it. Yeah, it's super simple.
And you mentioned, too, the effect that it's having on the parents. And I'm wondering if you can comment on the effect that you've seen in teachers as well.
Oh, yeah. Teachers, you know, it's hard when you're a teacher. I taught 18 years, and the hardest thing is moving, is just getting out there and get, because you're exhausted. You're exhausted at the end of the day. So for me as a teacher and for the teachers that I'm seeing, first of all, you know, no teacher went to school so that they could become the best standardized test giver ever. You know, teachers went to school when they were in college and they were idealistic and young and wonderful. They come out of college bright-eyed and they go into the classroom and they want to inspire and encourage youth to be the best they can be. That's why you go to school to become a teacher. It's not for the paycheck. That's for sure. It's because you want to make a difference. And for this particular thing, this 100 Mile Club concept, this idea that we're all going to do this thing together, it fills that need for our teachers, because it is, you know, reality is, it's high stakes stuff. Teaching is high stakes. You know, we've got to get stuff, you know, we've got to teach these kids to be, you know, active learners and, you know, 21st century kids. And when we take 10 minutes out of our day to go out and walk with our kids or maybe run a little with our kids, you get to know them in a way that you cannot do sitting in a classroom. You can't. You know, they'll tell you all their deepest, darkest thoughts out there on that track. Even if you're jogging, they'll be like, you know, that math lesson was really hard. Or, you know, my mom and dad are having a hard time. Or, can you help me after school with my project because I need poster board? I mean, that's those sort of conversations you don't get to have because time is so tight in a classroom. It's just ridiculously tight. And, you know, that's the reality that teachers face. It's a hard job. And what they know, and what I hope all teachers know, is that they are the deciding factor in that classroom. You know, nothing is more important than the teachers. Nothing. No books, no materials, nothing. It's them. And so to take on something like this with your kids, even if it's just a teacher and 12 kids, just like I started, you know, you go on this journey together and it can be life-changing for the teacher as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, you know, you're making a connection, which is so important these days, and very easy for kids to get lost in the crowd with classes and not have that one-on-one time.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And our kids, you know, we always find that our some of our, you know, naughtiest, most disconnected kids in the classroom, our kids that are just not feeling the success, are the ones that are successful out on the field in 100 Mile Club. And then everybody sees them in a different way. They're like, you know, that's Mikey. He's an amazing runner. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to run with him today. Or, you know, if you're struggling in the classroom, you know, a lot of times you succeed out on the field and it gives you that success point. So it takes you all the way back to, you know, seeing kids for what they can offer and what they are capable of, not what they can't do.
What they can't, yeah, exactly. And I'm imagining that you have run into lots of kids over the years that completed the program and you've had the opportunity to talk to them about what they've done with their lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that they commented on the 100 Mile Club at all?
Sure, sure. And you know, the most extreme cases, the most extreme stories come from those. I mean, of course, you have kids now who are going on and running track. You know, I see them at track meets and events, and they're out there, and they remember me, and they give me hugs. And those kids are amazing. But if I go back to those kids that I taught at the beginning, you know, those kids that were absolutely failing out of school at age 9, who, you know, started 100 Mile Club. I can think of two in particular right now, one of whom, she was amazing. She's a very spirited little girl, but had a lot of learning disabilities. And, you know, school was a struggle for her all the way through. But this is a child who I kept in contact with throughout her. I taught her in elementary school, throughout her middle, high school, and even her college years. And she clawed her way through. And she would tell me time and again, she goes, 100 Mile Club taught me that I can do anything I set my mind to. She goes, when I start to get to struggle, because this is a classic child with a classic learning disability. I mean, she struggled with reading and writing, and that's just how it was for her. It's just the way she functioned. So she had to get a lot of extra help, and it would have been very easy for her to just quit and get a job somewhere. And that would have been, you know, her choice, and that's fine. But she chose to continue on. And I think it was about 2 years ago, she finally finished her bachelor's degree, political science. And she did it. She did it on her own. She was the first of her whole family to ever go to college. And she, you know, she always said, Miss Lubin, if I can do 100 miles, I can do anything. If I can run 100 miles, I can do anything. I can do this. This is hard. You know, she would call me. I remember times when she was in college, and she went to junior college before she transferred to university, and she would come over and bring me her papers, and I would have to sit with her, and we'd work on her papers, and we helped her find some support systems in school, and you know, that sort of perseverance is what we need to teach our kids.
Yeah, that's what a great example.
The other one I was thinking of is a little boy who I had a few years into 100 Mile Club. He was came to me as a 9-year-old, and I'll never forget, he sat in my lap and cried almost the whole first day he was in my classroom because he couldn't even write his name. And he was this tiny, just beautiful little boy, and he just cried the whole day, and it was just awful. And he was at a new school, and it was just it was a hard day. It was a hard day for me too, emotionally, because I felt so bad for him. He ended up getting a cross-country scholarship to university, and he ran, and he is, I think he's doing like physical therapy. I actually just received an invitation to his wedding. So these kids came from school is killing me to I can do this. And the turning point truly for them was 100 Mile Club. It was that can that I gave them.
Yeah.
And really not that I gave them, the can that I presented and that they took. You know, they took the bait. They took a risk with me. They trusted me enough to take this journey with me, and it was life-changing for them. And we see that a lot.
It's been an amazing journey for all the kids that have been involved, and a huge number now, of course. But sure. It's been an incredible journey for you yourself. I'm wondering if you can just comment on what have been the highlights for you over the 20 years,
if that's possible. There are so many, and it's not the things that you would think of, because, you know, we've received tremendous accolades. I mean, award, the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports Spotlight Award. We've received, you know, the Active Schools Acceleration Project Innovation Award. We've received, but that's not it. You know, for me, it's those times on my journey in this thing. You know, the day I decided I needed to stop teaching, you know, that was a big day for me, where I decided this is worth it, and I'm going to take a chance. And I'm going to stop teaching for a couple of years. That was 5 years ago. I'm going to stop teaching and see where this goes. I'm willing to take that risk. I'll never forget it. Okay, here's the milestone, right? So I had to quit my job. So I took a leave of absence, a 2-year leave of absence. And I had been teaching 18 years. I mean, I was like 20 boxes in the back of my truck. I'm moving my stuff out of my classroom. And I'm walking out to the car with my very last box into my car. And one of my former students is in the parking lot, I kid you not, with her daughter. And she's walking into the school and she screams, "Hey, Miss Lubin." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "This is the day." She goes, "Did you know Michael Jackson just died?" And I went, "What?" And I remember thinking, my life is never going to be the same, because I'm quitting my job and Michael Jackson just died. And as soon as I drive out of this parking lot, nothing is going to be the same. It was completely like this weird moment for me. Not just that I was leaving my job, but I was leaving my job, and now Michael Jackson wasn't even around anymore. I mean, my world was crumbling. It was crazy. And those little things, like those little moments, are big. And, you know, you become really like aware. I try not to, but every once in a while you'll be doing something and you become very aware of where you are and what you're doing. And it's overwhelming. I mean, in a really good way. You know, and you feel like, you know, the chance that you took to make a difference was worth it. So it's the little things, you know, the family or the second generation 100 Mile Club kid now, because, you know, I have kids who have kids who are now in the program, who were also in the program. So, you know, the second generation 100 Mile Club kids are great. You know, those little things make me smile.
Amazing feeling to have second generational, and presumably a few years down the road there'll be third generation.
Sure. And they've got their medals and their shirts. Good stuff.
And fundamentally, you haven't done much with the program, if I understand it right, from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
No. And the beauty of it is its consistency. It doesn't matter if you're in, you know, Deering, Alaska, or if you're in, you know, Sarasota, Florida. If I moved you from one program to the next, the beauty of 100 Mile Club is its consistency. It's the shirts, it's the pencil, for crying out loud, that pencil. It's the wristband, it's the medal. It's this idea that if I'm from one place and I go to another place and I see you in a shirt, I know that you and I are on the exact same journey.
Yes.
It might look a little different in Deering, Alaska than it does in Florida, because of the weather and whatever, but still it's the same journey emotionally. And the incentives are the same. So no, our goal is consistency. And, you know, simple is best. I think, you know, I don't know how to be more complicated than this. This is how I function. I'm a special education specialist. My job is to make things as simple as possible for people. And so I think that, again, you know, helps make the program successful, which is, it's doable. People can wrap their heads around it. It's not scary. And when you break it down into its smallest parts, it's kids running in circles. That's what it is. But it's really fun.
They get older, then it's adults running around in circles, but different circles.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just bigger circles, longer circles. And it's really not about the miles, and it's not about the running. I mean, when you go to a race or a marathon or an ultra marathon, you're not really there for the miles. You're there because there are people there that you like and you want to connect with. And that's what it's about. I mean, it's about connecting with other people, getting out of your house and connecting with others. People don't do that
enough. becoming a social movement, so to speak. I'm sure people have been listening today. We're actually running out of time, believe it or not. People have been listening today, runners, parents, teachers, all sorts of people. Some of those will be interested in learning more about the program. What do they need to do to find out more, Kara?
It is so easy. All you have to do is go to our website at 100mileclub.com. So it's www.100mileclub.com, 100mileclub. And if you go there, there's a little video you can watch. It's just some kids and I running around in circles. It's a lot of fun. And talks about all the things that you need to know. There is just endless information, even a history of the T-shirts and how I designed them and pictures and what we were inspired by and how we think. And, if you feel like you want to talk to somebody, there's a phone number on the right side of the page. You can call and give us some questions, and the registration is on there. So if you're part of a school, you can register a group or a school and start. And off we go. It's that easy.
That easy. And you're, if I understand it right, you're pretty much in every state, or you will be by the end of the year?
No, we have schools in all 50 states. We have schools in Japan and New Zealand as well. And, you know, this is going to turn global, I think, faster than we think it is. Because humans are humans no matter where you go, and people like to connect with one another, and this is a really great way to do it. So we're growing fast, and we just are having a ball. We love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And as I mentioned earlier, it's hard to imagine you get sleep with everything going on. So you must have a great staff working with you, too.
We do. It's very small. We actually have 2 part-time and 2 full-time. Actually, 3 part-time and 2 full-time girls, and a gobs and gobs and gobs of volunteers. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteer team. People are very surprised when I tell them how small the staff is and what we're doing. So we couldn't do what we do without, you know, generous donations of time, you know, resources and funds to keep our schools moving forward and to keep us moving forward.
Kara, it's been terrific talking to you. I'm sure we could have talked for another 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, no. That would be fun.
All right. Yeah, well, maybe we could have you back on the show in another 6 months or so and just give us a bit of a progress report on how things are going.
Sure. We have so much going on. I could tell you new stories every day. But for now, if you want to keep up with us, you know, in real time, our Facebook page is wonderful. And our Twitter feed is great as well. So if you're that sort of person and you want to connect with us that way, it's a great way to do it too. And we're just at Facebook/100mileclub.
Facebook/100mileclub. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, thank you again. And thanks everyone for joining us. We've run out of time. We're going to have Kara back and ask more questions in a few months. Thanks, Kara, already for saying yes to that.
Thank you.
And, thank you, and hope everyone has a healthy, active day. That's it for now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.